Welcome to the Midday for a Friday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and with me today is pianist Martin Kasich. He's in Wisconsin to be performing tomorrow night at Farley's House of Pianos and a program of Debussy and Liszt's Liebestraum No. 3 and Spanish Rhapsody. And as if all that weren't a really good start, it's the entire Pictures at an Exhibition of Mussorgsky. Welcome.
Hello.
First visit to Wisconsin?
No, actually, I was here about 10 years ago when I was still part of Young Concert Artist program, and I played a concert, and I went to different schools. I was here about for 3 days, I guess.
Oh, okay. So you've seen it in at least the three-day bite. And I have to be curious right away about the Mussorgsky, and for a long time, it seemed as if nobody played Pictures in an Exhibition, the piano version. You just heard the Ravel orchestration.
Really? Uh-huh.
And then gradually, one pianist after the other started taking it on. And it, you hear that Pictures in an Exhibition in the original piano version takes some chances, does some things that the orchestral version doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
Harmonically kind of on the edge at times.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think this is a tendency to go to original in this time. You know, before it was not that... today you hardly ever hear all the transcriptions by Liszt. It's considered a little bit, you know, let's go to original pieces, mm-hmm. you know. And so also the Mussorgsky pictures being written primarily, only for piano solo, that's maybe the reason why it's just so in fashion at the moment. Of course, it's a landmark, it's a milestone of piano music, and it had such an influence on let's say, Janáček, first of all, you know,
and
what you can call music realism, that it's really pinched in blood and life, and however bitter or however not nice it might be, you know, it's the truth that was so important for Mussorgsky and for Janáček as well. So it's a really fantastic piece, so colorful, so Russian, so.
Mussorgsky as a composer is a little hard to kind of have a sense of. A lot of his music was finished, say, by Rimsky-Korsakov, for example. Mussorgsky was seemed not always focused on completing things, and he didn't seem to write a lot of piano music either.
No.
Are there things other than Pictures at an Exhibition?
Probably some, yeah, there's Hopak, there are a few things, but none of that caliber, I think. Well, Mussorgsky, you know, he was a notorious alcoholic, and he had quite troubled life. You know, he had a lot of problems with himself, so I'm not surprised that he would not finish a lot of his works, but he was a pure genius. He was probably the most talented of all the Russian composers there, including Tchaikovsky.
There is a story about him and drink and... performance, he was supposed to accompany a tenor, I think it was.
Yeah.
And the tenor got pretty nervous ahead of time when he found Mussorgsky under the influence. And then the tenor decided at the last minute that he needed to sing maybe a couple of tones lower. And he was even more worried about could Mussorgsky pull that off, but he did. He could transpose into any key, apparently, just spontaneously, and pull the thing off at the last minute. Do you have composers that you favor? I mean, you're coming from, you know, the Eastern European musical tradition.
Oh, besides all the known and so much played composers, I of course play a lot of Czech music. So, starting with Smetana, Dvořák, Janáček, Novák, Suk, then some modern ones, Klement Slavický. I hope I will play an encore of his toccata at the concert. I premiered some new music, piano concerto by Silvia Bodorova, who used to teach in Cincinnati, composition. Besides the normal repertoire, the Czech repertoire is what I like to present.
And some of those composers that you mentioned, Dvořák, for example, he has a piano concerto, but we, and of course the charming humoresques, but we don't think too much of Dvorak as being a piano composer.
No, it's not. But there is a lot of chamber music. You know,
sure, with piano. Oh, yes.
With
piano. Sure,
so that's piano that. Of course, the piano concerto I've played many, many times, and the Mazurka, as you say, plus the Dumky trio and quartet and quintet, especially.
Yes.
It's so popular and nice.
Well, speaking of piano composers from Eastern Europe, Frédéric Chopin, I suppose you could say, well, he never really quite left Poland at heart, even though he settled in France and Western Europe in general. But among the things that he wrote for, obviously for piano, were some mazurkas, and not too many years ago you recorded a whole CD of Chopin, including some mazurkas, the Mazurka in G minor and C major, for example. What appeals to you in those two pieces?
Well, mazurkas are so different from other pieces of Chopin. I think they were meant to be like for Chopin himself, not for concert. It's introspection.
Really? Not for concert.
I think he meant it merely as an improvisation and a communication with himself and with music. It doesn't need an audience. You know, whereas Polonaises or things like the scherzi, ballads, I think they are all,
outgoing
for the public, whereas this is so intimate and
so
unique.
Here are two of them, G minor and C major mazurkas from a set of Opus 24 by Chopin, with my guest Martin Kasich performing. Mazurkas by Frédéric Chopin is played by Martin Kasich, who is with me for the midday today. And you hail from the Czech Republic?
Yeah.
And what is the state of, let's say, musical life there? I mean, we hear about other places in Europe where symphony orchestras are being cut back and the number of jobs for musicians is dwindling. What's it like in the Czech Republic?
I think the situation is the same everywhere. Germany is a little bit different, and Czech Republic doesn't suffer that much, primarily because we are so linked to Germany in business. So we don't see many symphony orchestras go down. Actually, I don't think there was any of them. There are some cuts, but we try to find new ways to get the money and the audience. And so basically, I think it's not bad.
And so by going out to get the audience, do you perform, with scaled-down ensembles? That's one thing that's being done with an orchestra. Will send out a smaller group, a subset of the orchestra, to perform as one way that they go out.
Well, in Czech Republic, there is no such centralization of culture. In every bigger city, you have some kind of orchestra. You know, so it's not usual that Czech Philharmonic would tour the country.
Oh,
they only go into
true.
Specific festivals and they want them. But apart from that, it's the regional orchestras that provide music for regions. So it's not much traveling around.
It's a relatively small country.
It's a 10 million country, right. Yeah.
Well, here's another composer that I suppose whose work is, well, certainly popular here in this country too, but I would imagine just as popular, if not more so, in Eastern Europe, and that's Rachmaninoff, who wrote a fair number of preludes for piano. And was he taking his cue, do you think, from Bach or from Chopin or somewhere else when he wrote preludes?
Yeah, I mean, that was everybody wrote preludes, Scriabin too, Debussy. So I think the tradition comes from Bach, really. And fugue not being then so popular, they just stick with the
just the prelude, the preludes, without the fugue.
Without the fugue.
That's so true. Originally, the prelude literally was a prelude to something,
it's prelude to another prelude.
That's right. Well, that's the way it's going to be here, because we'll hear two Rachmaninoff preludes in a row, both from that set of Opus 23, the first in F-sharp minor and the next in B-flat. Now, you recorded these in a concert at the Liechtenstein Palace in Prague. Any particular reason you chose those two to for the performance and the CD?
That was two encores. And they are the first two from the Opus 23. So they are very they are different. So that's why I asked. Well, I think I played them.
All right, here they are: F sharp minor and B flat major of Rachmaninoff. Martin Kasich, the pianist. This, by the way, back April 7th, 1999, in concert. Well, see, look, you look a little different on the on the CD. Here they are. Back in 1999 at the Liechtenstein Palace in Prague, that was my guest, Martin Kasich, with two preludes by Rachmaninoff, F-sharp minor and just now B-flat major. You also, of course, when we talked about Dvorak, and some of the best, I think, of Dvorak for piano had to be those Slavonic dances. And now he write them originally as piano four hands pieces. Was that the best way to actually sell music, a very popular way back in the 19th century?
Exactly. That was an order from Zimrock, his publisher. Brahms recommended Dvořák to him, to the Zimrock.
Right.
And Zimrock, it was a, let's say he gave it a try, and he wanted Dvořák to write something similar to Hungarian dances of Brahms. And so Slavonic dances just repeated what Brahms did in Hungarian. And it was the major success for, I think it was the biggest success for the publisher of all times, this music. And then, of course, it was orchestrated.
It's really what made Dvorak, I think, internationally famous, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a time of increasing nationalism in music. If you were Greek, you wrote Norwegian. If you were, somebody else, you might write Polish, for example, Chopin, of course, and for Dvorak it would be Czech.
No, that wasn't natural at the time, that's true.
Here's one of them. Actually, there are a total of 16 in two sets of Slavonic dances by Dvorak. This is number 7 from the first set, Opus 46, and performing with you is pianist...
It's my wife, Kristina Kasíková.
That was the first of the whole two sets of Slavonic dances of Dvorak, Martin Kasich, with his wife and Kristina.
Yeah. Was not my wife then.
Well, it's a good way to get acquainted, isn't it? Those piano four hands.
Well, not really. There's a lot of fighting involved. There's not enough space. Your elbows are working.
Elbows.
Yeah.
Is it still possible to hear, if you go to Czech Republic, to hear in the original settings dances that would have influenced or inspired Dvořák to write those Slavonic dances?
I don't think so. That's over. Oh. Although in some folk regions that preserve folk music, you can still see it, but on special occasions, but not on the regular basis, no.
Well, we have it sort of not fossilized exactly, but memorialized, you might say, in those dances by Dvořák. Martin Kasich has been with me during this half hour of the midday. He's performing at Farley's House of Pianos in Madison tomorrow night. That's 7:30, and a program that includes Liszt and Debussy and all of the pictures at an exhibition by Mussorgsky. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you for inviting me.
Pleasure to see you and hear your music. Right after this, it's the 12:30 quiz question here on WPR.